So I have the privilege this morning, I have the privilege this morning of speaking about community, which is something that's dear and near to me in many ways. And I'm really excited because today is also an opportunity for us to sign up for community groups. And, you know, community here at Northlands, it's a big deal for us. There's so much power in community. There's opportunity for transformation. There's opportunity to experience great friendships and all kinds of things we're going to get into today. But for us, community is a big rock. It's something that we really stand with and behind. And I want to start off this morning by saying I love the community here at Northlands. I really do, in all of its forms, on Sunday mornings, in community groups, in missional communities, in grace teams. Before I came to Northlands about 8 years ago, I had the privilege, I had met Greg and we were friends, and I had the privilege of coming and being a part of some of the conferences that were here. The prophetic conference way back in the day. Anybody remember that? Yeah. But I got to see this amazing community that was showing itself in all different aspects of life here at Northlands. I remember one of the conferences I came to, it was just me and Michelle and the children were in Texas where I was leading a church. And I remember service ended, and I was sitting there, and it was just soaking it in, and all these kids ran in from the children's ministry. And they had pictures, and they had sculptures, and they began to tell their parents of what the Lord had spoken to them back there, and prophetic words they got. And look at this picture. I was just like, oh, my goodness, this is community. This is rich community. And so blessed to be a part of this. But we really consider... Oh, funny. We really consider that community is an awesome opportunity for us, and it's a privilege, not just for us to receive, but also for us to give. And I want to start off by just saying a few things. First of all, we are created for community. It's a desire that's in us, and we actually long for it. We serve a communal God. Amen? It all started before created. It was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So community is something that has been put in us, and honestly, we look for it and we search for it. I think that's why there's in so many different ways you can see community. I joked about football, but it's the same. Each team, there's a community of fans, and you can have the same hat, jersey, whatever it is, and there's some commonality there. I had the opportunity recently to go to California and speak at a retreat, and we were up in the mountains, and we had 10 inches of snow on the day we were supposed to get out. And so we're like, okay, how are we going to drive? And one of the guys there had a Jeep, a four-wheel drive Jeep. I said, I'm going in that, because I'm pretty sure we're going to get out no matter what. But we had to run up to do some things. As we were driving down the road, he's driving his Jeep. He kept going like this. Anybody own a Jeep here? Anybody? This is interesting. So I go, why are you? It's cool you're waving. You're just being friendly. He goes, no, every time another Jeep walks by, or drives by, walks by. Jeez, very impressive. Anytime another Jeep drives by, the owners look at each other and give a little wave. Just Jeep. If you're a truck, they'd be like, just keep driving. But if you're a Jeep, they give this little wave like, I see you. Another Jeep. Little community, never talked, never been a part of it. I was like, that's amazing. But we see community all around us because there's something within us that draws us to be a part of something greater than ourselves. And God has put that desire in us to be a part of a community, to be a part of a small group, to be a part of a group of people that gather with the commonality so that we can receive and also give in those scenarios. So one of those communities that I've had the blessing to be a part of is I coach middle school softball, and before that I coached rec softball. And I remember it was about 4 years ago, when I started coaching, Katie said, hey, I want to try softball as a sport. I said, great, let's see what it is. We found a spot. A friend had invited her. And so we signed up for the softball league, and they sent, hey, this is the team you're on. And she actually made it with one of her friends, so she was excited. And then another email came, hey, this is the director. We're just looking for parents that would be interested in helping, you know, seeing if anybody out there would be interested in coaching. And so me being nice and naive and, you know, other things, I said, yeah, I'd love to help. And about 30 minutes later, an email went out and said, hey, we have a head coach. His name's Tom Borsig. He's going to be coaching the Little League. So I was like, oh my gosh, I've coached football or other things, but I haven't coached softball. So I did what everybody else went. I went on YouTube and I Googled all softball drills and all kinds of stuff, called a couple friends that did it and put some things together. And I found out that I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed getting out there with my daughter and with the other people and coaching. And one of the amazing things about it is going through those 4 years, we got to build a community together. So right now, I'm coaching a travel team with those same girls. And so for 4 years, some of the same girls have all been on the same team together. And through that, we've had community, all through the commonality of softball. So there's been times of encouragement, there's times all kinds of things. And through that, we've built relationship with the parents, and Katie has built relationship with the players as well. So some of those people have visited here, and actually some of the girls on the team visited here and gave their life to Christ as a result. So we got to see this amazing place of community through softball. But it's because there's something in us that longs to be a part of that. So as we talk about community, I want to start with three statements about it that I think are helpful for us to talk about. Number one, community is a gateway for encouragement. I really believe this. Community is a gateway for encouragement. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." See, in community, we have an opportunity to experience encouragement. I don't know about you guys, but when we talk about the gathering here on a Sunday morning, there's something that happens on a Sunday morning when we all gather together that I can't get on my own. In my own prayer time, my own time away with the Lord, it's the community that I experience all kinds. We see things from different angles, right? We're brought up different ways. So everyone gets to contribute to this community, and I get to see it from a different way. It's like they say, if four of us were standing on four different corners of an intersection, there was a car accident, we'd all see it from different angles. Someone would have seen the light change. Someone would have seen who they thought ran. But all of us, it was the same thing. We just saw it from a different angle. And that's one of the beauties of community, is we get to gather together from all of these different angles and experience something pretty amazing. So in this scripture, what's hidden in there is the truth of, if you give up meeting together, you lose the opportunity for that encouragement. But if you do, you gain that gateway gets opened for you to gain encouragement. How many need encouragement? I do too. There's sometimes the things of this world, the referees of the game, the umpires, or whatever, get on you, and you just need to stand with someone and say, you know, could you stand with me and pray for this? And community allows and fosters that to happen. So community is a gateway for encouragement. The next one is community is a window for others. Because it's built within us, because there's something in us that has a desire to be a part of community, it becomes a window. Listen to these two passages. Acts 4:32, and this is in the Passion Translation. All the believers were in mind and heart. Selfishness was not a part of their community, for they shared everything they had with one another. Isn't that amazing? Selfishness, not a part of their community. They shared everything they had with one another. And Philippians 2:21, for everyone looks for their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. See, community is noticeable. You can't help but see it when it's taking place. You can't help but see it in a group of people that they're laughing or they're having fun or they're enjoying something, and you're moved with this thought of, man, I'd love to know what they're doing because I'd love to be a part of that. Recently, I had the opportunity to go to a father-daughter dance with Caitlin, my youngest daughter. And we went, and one of her friend's dad sent a text and said, hey, I met you 2 years ago. We'd love to have you come with us. It's all these dads get together. So I went to a place I didn't know with my daughter. I hadn't, that I knew of, met any of the people there. And so I walked in, and it had been 2 years, and I didn't recognize the guy who invited me. So either I just go up to everyone and go, hey, thanks for the invitation, which I wasn't going to do. And my daughter found her friends, and she went off. So it's that awkward junior high moment again, right? I'm like, I can only go to the bathroom so many times, you know? And so I'm watching this group of dads in a circle, and they're laughing, and they're just enjoying each other's company. And the one thing I noticed, there's not a spot for me to stand in there. You know, they're all shoulder to shoulder talking and laughing. And, And it's that awkward, and right then the gentleman walks up and he goes, "Hey, Tom, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Hey, I'm so glad you guys could come. Hey, let me introduce you to the rest of the guys." And he takes me over there and introduces me to all the other dads who welcome me in and all of this. So now all of a sudden I am invited into this cool community. Awkwardness is gone, and I get to celebrate and laugh with what they're experiencing and be a part of that community. Because the commonality we were there for was to have a father-daughter dance, to instill some things into our daughters, and to just have a good time with that. See, a community is noticeable. And when we're in it, whether we realize it or not, people are looking and they're seeing it. And what longs with them is, in them is, gosh, I want to be a part of that. I want to have that joy. I want to have that experience. I want someone to stand with me in prayer. That's why community is so important. And then the last statement is, community is a catalyst for love. You know, Scripture says in John 13:35, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." When we express love, we are most like Jesus. And people see that and they recognize that there's something different about us. We're known from our expression to one another, the way that we love each other, the way that we stand with each other, the way that we pray for each other. There's times that we've been in situations through our moving time. I'll give you an example. One time when we were leading a church in Texas, things were really tough for us, I'll just be honest with you. And so it just happened that everything came to a head at right just the right moment. And so I missed the electric bill, which meant we had no heat in our house. So it was cold. So I told the kids, "Hey, we're going to have fun by the fireplace and sleep there tonight." So they were like, "Oh, fun, cool," you know, and groceries were low and all this stuff. So we just prayed and said we're going to make the best of it. And then there was a knock at our door. And out of nowhere, we go to the door, and there's nobody there. So I kind of look around for a minute, and I see something on our driveway, and I look closer, and there were grocery bags covering our driveway. Someone just came, gave us groceries, and I saw them running in the distance, and I said, "Don't forget about the heat." No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. No. Just kidding. You see how my mind works all the time. I got to. But seriously, all these bags of groceries, I'm sitting there, I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And so I'm carrying them in, and my kids help us, and they're going, "What's going on?" And one of our neighbors goes, "What was all over your driveway? Did someone pull a prank or anything?" I go, "Well, maybe it was a blessing prank because someone blessed us with a bunch of groceries." There's something about community and expressing love to one another that catches the attention of other people. And that's why community is so important to us. So how is love expressed in community? And this is where I really want to spend the rest of our time, because the early church had it. We read several different scriptures where we see that the early church acted in a way where they were loving one another, experiencing community together, fellowshipping together, and it caused other people to take note. So as a result, the church grew, and it grew, and it grew. Let me read a couple of those passages for you. First, Acts 2:42, very well-known passage about the early church. It says this: "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." What a great picture, huh? How many of you guys have been in a community group, small group, or some other kind of group before? Anywhere? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if this is what was expressed? Oh, this group's like this. And I think we have a lot of this. But they got it. They understood what it took to be a community that would draw in others that want to be a part of it, that they could receive as a part of the community, and then they could give to be part of the community as well. Another passage that talks about this, Acts 4:32, all the way through 37, it says this: "All the believers were in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that they were no needy persons among them. For time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need." It goes on to say Joseph, who's called Barnabas, which is the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So we have this amazing picture of the early church and the way they experience community. And it's the same thing that we get to experience as well. See, the beauty of this is each one of us is called to community. That's why when someone becomes a member in Northlands, we always encourage them to commit to community. Because it's a twofold thing. One, we get to receive it, and how good is it to be with a group of people in community together? But there's also a piece that you get to give as well, and that's what makes the community so beautiful. When it says enjoying the favor of all the people, all the differences, all the uniqueness, all of the strengths, all of the gifts of that community. And it's so important for each one of us to bring it. That's what makes it community. There's no one that we go, oh, they're not included in community or they shouldn't be a part of community. No, God created us to be in community together, both for receiving when we need it, but then also for giving as well. So I want to talk about three ways that community expresses love. Number one is unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Isn't that amazing? Unity is big. And to me, unity speaks of, you know, the early church, they said these are the things that we decided to devote ourselves to. Do you think there were differences? Do you think maybe someone didn't like fish and loaves, someone else liked something else, right? Do you think there could have been some preferences that were different? But unity is calling us to a place of agreement. You know, one of the things, to give an example, is when as I'm coaching softball, sometimes there isn't agreement with what the umpires call and what I think they should have called. Sometimes there's not agreement with what the parents think the play I should have called is and what I called. But we have a quick conversation. And they go, hey, you know, sometimes, Tom, I just think you need to yell at the kids a little more. And I go, you know, that's just not me. That's not how I coach. You know, well, every once in a while, it's kind of good to put a little fear in them. And I go, that's great. And I see coaches do it. But that's just not how I coach. I encourage. I go, come on, we'll get it next time. Let's pull together. Let's bring our team together. You know, that's how I coach. And sometimes I've even thought about saying, I'll tell you what, I'll get the team together. You yell at them for a little while. No, I don't want to yell. But that's just how I am. But we can be, the person could look at that and go, hey, you know what? That's true. That's not how you coach. And we're in agreement together. We may think different about something, but we're in agreement together. Agreement is so important in community. So important that another verse in Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, in all. Make every effort to keep the unity. See, sometimes our culture dictates that what we're supposed to be doing is spending our time focusing on the differences. What's different? What don't I like about what we're doing? What don't I care, you know, those kind of things. But honestly, community grows and fosters when we focus on the things that we agree on. And honestly, there are a ton of things that we agree on that we shouldn't get caught up on the little things that tries to pull us apart. When we're talking about keeping every effort, I'm just staying with softball stories, so I hope that's okay. But there's a time when we were playing and we were down, I think, by 5 or 6 runs, and we had won the previous 2 games. It was in a tournament, and we needed to win this because we wanted to go into the final seeded as the number one seed. And so we're down. It's the last inning, and we pull the team together. And I just go, guys, you know what? Do you think we can win? And there's a lot of question. They're waiting for me to tell them if I think we can win. And I said, we can win. And you want to know how I know we can win? Because we did it last time. We were down by 8. We're only down by 4 or 5 runs, whatever it was. And I said, you guys as a team have everything it takes to win this game. I said, but you know what? No matter what happens, we're going to continue to play, but you can win this. Did a little pep rally, said, let's go. The first person strikes out, we could have just gone, oh, thanks. You know,
Thanks for losing the game for us.
Because one of the things I talked about is how we're unique as a team and we all come together. But instead, it didn't bother them. And then after that, everyone started hitting, everyone started encouraging, and we did win. We did win. There's something about this community and doing every effort to keep the unity together that's important. Unity is worth fighting for. It's worth putting differences aside. It's worth doing whatever it takes to make sure everyone has the blessing that we have in experiencing it continue as well. It's huge. It's very, very important. Make every effort to keep the unity. And then 1 Corinthians 12, 25 says this, so that there should be no division in the body, but that all of its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. See, the thing I love about the body of Christ is we are all uniquely gifted. We're all different. Do you know that? Look around for a minute. Don't look too long. We're all different. We're all uniquely gifted. We all have different backgrounds and different experiences. We all have different gifting. There's different calling that God has put in you. There's different strengths and all of these things that make up who you are. And you know what? Every single one of you is needed for the community that you're in. You get to bring you to the community, and by doing that, you make it better. Because without you in that community, it's lacking. I can't stress this enough. Each one of us has not only been called to community, but you're needed in community. Because there's something special that you bring that the rest of the community needs. It's like our body. If my arm gets cut off and I lose a limb, I can still live. And I can still function. I can still do things. I can get a robotic arm. I can do all these things. But ultimately, I can't do the very thing that my body was intended to do with everything there. So there's not anybody in this room we could say, oh, we could do community, except we don't need this person. Or I don't like this person. Or we should cut out this person. No, each one of us has something to bring for the betterment of the community. Every single one of you can receive from a community and then also give to that same community so they could be better off with you. Amen? We're all apart. Secondly, devotion. I love this. So in Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Who devoted themselves? They did. They weren't coerced. They weren't forced. They weren't beat into. It was they devoted. There was a personal choice by everyone who was a part of the community to be in community. It's a personal choice. Look, I'll be the first to tell you, there have been times in my life when I stepped into the community, whatever it was, a small group or church setting, I needed the community because I was struggling. Have you ever been like that? And so you come and you bring and you ask for prayer and you work through and you do whatever, and sometimes it's a season. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why the community is there. Because left to myself, I'm all alone. And the enemy comes and says things and whispers things and tries to derail me and pull me aside. But when I'm in community, I've got people to remind me what God really says about me. There's things that people can encourage me, remind me of prophetic words that I've gotten. That's why we need the community. And then there's other times when I get to come and I get to bring my strength for someone else who's in need. That's a beauty of community. Every person is needed, but they devoted themselves. They chose, I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to bring my strength to this. I'm going to commit to this group in this time. They were devoted. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's like he knew there might be grumbling involved. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. Just what I was talking about. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So us bringing our strength to the community, us bringing our gift, whatever it may be, actually leads that God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's an action of praise when we do that, according to Scripture in 1 Peter 4:8. And Romans 12:5 says, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You know, for me, remember at the beginning it said selfishness was not a part of their community? For me to go, yeah, I'm not going to be a part of community, it really is a selfish thing I'm doing, just to be honest. Not that I lie at other times, but I just say that a lot. Each member belongs to all the others. Why? Because I need William to be a part of this community. I need Ron to be a part of this community. If I could go through every single person, we need each other in community because each one of us is uniquely gifted and you bring something that the other person, we need one another and we're a part of each other. Lastly, generous. One of the ways that love is expressed through community is generous. I want to read three passages. Acts 4:34, that there were no needy persons among them. Acts 2:44 through 45, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone they had need. Acts 4:32, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had. Is this a beauty of being in generous or generosity? It goes noticed. Generosity gets noticed by other people. I shared this testimony before, but there was a situation where our van broke down back in November of last year. It was a $4,000 bill. We didn't have the $4,000 to fix the van, so we just parked it. And as a result, there was a time for people to stand for prayer, and prayer was about provision. So Michelle and I came and we stood and asked the Lord, could you help us fix our van? The person said, what do you want prayer for? I told him. And then that same service, before we moved on to the second service, two people came to us and wrote us a check, each for $1,000, and said, here, just felt like the Lord said to give this to you. I was like, oh my gosh, that's half the van. That's half the payment on the van. So long story short, I said to Michelle, gosh, if he gave us this, he's going to bring this to completion. Let's just call and have it fixed. So we called the dealer. So I'm getting ready. And he goes, wait a minute. What year is it? All this stuff. Long story short, he goes, that's actually covered under the warranty on the powertrain. And I go, they cover transmission? He goes, yeah, they do. And he said, so I brought it in. So now we drive our van that didn't cost us a penny. Yeah, praise God. The amazing thing about it that happened is I had the opportunity as I was talking to a dealership and as I was talking to some of the place where I had my car, he was going to work on it originally, and I begin to share with them what happened. One of the guys was like, whoa, time out. So just people you didn't necessarily know or say anything to just brought you a check? I was like, yeah, two people. And he goes, whoa, wait, how much was it? And so I got to share this testimony of the generosity expressed in this community. He's floored. He just kept asking questions. So you didn't say anything? I said, no, we don't have, like, people's needs up on the, hey, Tom needs this, and Tyler needs, we don't have those things. I said, it was just they were prompted by God. Wait, okay, tell me this again. I mean, it's just so blown away. Why? Because generosity gets noticed. And when we as a community are generous, it's not just financially. It could be time, talent, treasure, things that we give. People notice it. So for me, it led to a place where I go, you should stop by the church. You might have been thinking, well, I've got some needs too. No, not for that. Just see the community, see the generosity take place. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's because people love Jesus, and they're being prompted by what he's calling them to. Generosity gets noticed. Just like I said before, when we had a need and someone brought us all those groceries, it's a generous move on someone's behalf. And neighbors and other people who heard about it, they took notice. When we flood a hospital to visit somebody, and there's people upon people upon people, people being generous to visit, it's noticed. People realize that. That's one of the ways in community that we express love is by being generous. We take care of one another. We stand with each other. We have this saying here that if you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. So we stand together and pray through difficult times. It's part of the reason, as Tyler shared, we share testimonies. Why? Because it's an opportunity for us to not only celebrate that, but then to say, Lord, could you do that again in my life? Could you break through in this way for me? You did it for them, you can do it for me. Because that's the kind of God we serve. So let me wrap it all up with this. So why commit to community? As I said, for people that are part of Northlands, we say commit to community. Why do we need to do that? One, we were created for it. It lives within us, and you're always going to be drawn to it. The second thing is that others are waiting to see it. There are people longing for true community, wanting to belong to something, wanting to see a glimpse of what they've heard about, or maybe they haven't even seen yet. And you being a part of it could be that window that allows them to see in and see the goodness of God expressed through community. That's why for us, there's a couple things. Like, we don't have closed community groups. I don't know if you said it this service, but last service, Tyler was talking about signing up for community groups, and he said you can look at your menu. And I just thought that was cool. I was like, okay, I'll have the Greater Glory with some fresco, and I'll end with Saturday Morning Men's. Thank you. But these are all community groups, all opportunity for us to find a commonality and then plug in. And one of the things, we don't have closed community groups. And I know some of them get big and they're packed with people, and I get that. I've been there. But we don't close them because someone is going to be looking at the community that's taking place and go, oh my gosh, I would love to be a part of that. How many of you guys know invitations go very far? Do you know that? If you're leading a group, whether it's a grace team or a community group, man, if you're leading one of our groups or a missional community, extending an invitation goes so far. Because sometimes people are watching from a distance, just wanting to be engaged. So we don't close our groups. One of the things we're encouraging people to do if your group gets big and is consider breaking into two homes. You can still meet together once a month or another time everyone gets together, but the idea is that everyone who wants community can have community. Everyone who wants community can have it. Because what we've so graciously and wonderfully been able to experience in its forms, I want as many people as they can to experience the same thing. Amen? So we keep them open. Because I'm telling you, there's people that are looking and they're going, okay, is that genuine? Is that really what I'll experience if I go? Can that be true? And just the opportunity to experience it? And I go, oh my gosh, this is fabulous. This is wonderful. So that's why we commit to community. Because honestly, we feel like there's something that we can grow, we can receive in community, but there's also something that's there for you to give in community. That's two ways. Amen? So what I want to do is I want to close in prayer, and we're kind of ending a little bit early, not too early, but a little bit early, to give you time to actually look over. And I know sometimes it's not easy to do it right on the spot, but for you and if you're married, your spouse, or whoever, to look at these, see all the different kinds of community groups we have, see which one resonates with you. All the leaders are going to be out in the front lobby manning their table, and they're there for any questions you may have. You might be going, well, is there childcare provided? They'll be able to answer that for you. What night or what time are we meeting? They're all over the city. Some of them meet here. Most of them are in homes. We try to spread it out as much as we can because we know that Atlanta traffic can be sometimes a little bit difficult around the times of small groups. So we try to spread it around. But would you prayerfully consider your commitment to community today? And would you look over this list and see which one maybe you consider? Talk to the people out there, pray about it, and then make a decision to commit. I think if you do, you can't go wrong. So we have a lot of great people who are part of Northlands, and community is just waiting to happen. Amen? So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your passion for us to experience genuine community. Lord, I thank you that you are a communal God. And it's within your heart for us to experience that amazing community where we get to receive and we also get to give. And so, Father, I pray over every single one of us today that as we talk about this commitment to community, that in all of the aspects of community that we're involved in, whether it's a Sunday morning, whether it's a grace team, whether it's a community group or even outside things, Father, that in those areas as we commit to it, we would receive where it needs to be received and we would give where we have the opportunity to give. And Father, I pray that as we commit to this community, the result would be life transformation for everyone. Father, I thank you that life transformation in small groups happen often. And I know that I want my life changed. And I'm pretty sure I can speak for all of us. We want our lives to transform, to continue to grow, and experience the things that you have for us. So we pray that over this season and over what we get to do. And Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.